DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. President Biden in Warsaw delivering a speech in support of Ukraine as the world prepares to mark a full year since the Russian invasion. And a day after that surprise trip to Kyiv, ABC's Mary Bruce is in Warsaw with more.
The U.S. informing Russia of the visit just hours in advance, an attempt to avoid any miscalculation or direct conflict. Vladimir Putin abided by that warning, but is firing back, saying it is impossible to defeat Russia on the battlefield and that the West is trying to turn a local conflict into a phase of global confrontation.
In his equivalent to the State of the Union address, Vladimir Putin announced today that Russia would be pulling the Kremlin out of the START treaty, the last remaining nuclear arms pact with the United States. Another 8 people killed when another powerful earthquake rocked the same area in Turkey and Syria where 47,000 people died in this month's tremor. The quake coming at a magnitude 6.4. This is ABC News. Due on the stand this morning in the murder trial of South Carolina lawyer Alex Murdaugh, his son. Buster Murdaugh being called by his father's lawyers. Alex Murdaugh is accused of killing his wife and younger son. One man is now under arrest, accused in the murder of an auxiliary bishop in Los Angeles.
It was a tip called into sheriff's investigators that led them to 65-year-old Carlos Medina, the husband of Bishop David O'Connell's housekeeper. Medina had also done work around O'Connell's house. Medina owned an SUV like the one seen in surveillance video in the bishop's driveway. Sheriff Robert Luna on that tipster.
They were concerned because Medina was acting strange, irrational, and made comments about the bishop owing him money.
Investigators are now working to figure out if one of two guns seized was a murder weapon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Tests in Britain of the four-day work week paying off. 18 companies say they'll keep it in place for good. Dozens more say they'll keep testing it out. Em Nguyen, ABC News.
Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's bracing for another big snowstorm. People everywhere will be affected, but the worst of it should be in about the central one-third of Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says it'll start to get snowy and windy later tonight and last all the way into Thursday. Places from Neillsville to Sturgeon Bay might get up to a foot and a half of snow. Wisconsin wildlife officials are asking the public to let them know where and when they spot black bears and black bear dens. The Bear Litter and Diet Survey is the Department of Natural Resources effort to learn about black bear reproduction rates and manage the population. In sports, ESPN reports the Philadelphia Eagles interviewed Jim Leonard about their defensive coordinator job. Leonard was the Badgers' defensive coordinator and former interim head coach. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I was reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Do you think most girls love diamonds?
So like a sparkly ring? Absolutely.
No, silly. I mean the love for a baseball diamond and listening to the Milwaukee Brewers spring training games on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM.
We've got you covered. Every pitch, every hit.
Swing and a drive to right and deep.
And every... every win, because a baseball diamond is a girl's best friend.
On your local Civic Media radio station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great, too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media, Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
You know, I grew up hearing that women are bad with money. But like many of you, I spent years paying bills, managing checking accounts, and taking care of my family. So, turns out, women are pretty good with money after all. And now, I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. It's never too late to start, and there's a great website to help you. Check out WeSaySaveIt.org and jumpstart your retirement savings on your budget and your timeline. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
You don't know anything about that, do you? All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is none other than Mr. George Hinton. He is the executive director and president, CEO. Of the Social Development Commission in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. It's been a minute, but it's not like I've been trying to get at you.
I know. It's like, I don't know what happened, but something about the whole pandemic and all that stuff just kept us from getting together.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, you've been with the Social Development Commission now 6 years?
No, 10.
10 years. Oh, it's been that long?
Yeah.
Wow, man. Time, you know, we get a little older, don't we?
Yeah, 10 years later, right?
10 years. Yeah, man. Let's talk a little bit about the Social Development Commission and what that is.
The Social Development Commission is two things in one, actually. It was created in 1963 by Mayor Meyer as a commission right. on poverty to deal with issues specifically affecting people of color in Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee right. at that time, because that was during the 60s, during the civil rights movement, a lot of unrest about inequities. And it was very segregated back in those days. And so that's when it began. In 1965, President Johnson created community action agencies across the country. Is 1,000 today. And in 1965, the county and the city got together with the blessings of the state and created a merged commission and CAP agency. So we're one of 16 CAP agencies in Wisconsin, and we represent Milwaukee County.
You know, I remember the Social Development Commission. I remember OIC. CYD. I remember many organizations that were around in those mid to late 60s and early 70s that employed many people of color, educated people of color, and it was clearly a time where people who needed help and support were able to get it. We had a government that realized, hey, the best way to help make sure that the people and we have a stronger country is to make sure that people aren't struggling, that they aren't hungry. That was a time when we believed in that, right?
Well, you know, I think it was a time that we needed to have some action because people were not happy about the condition.
Right.
And back then, agencies like the Social Development Commission were very much an activist kind of organization, asking and putting demands on the government and the society to make sure people weren't hungry, that they had affordable places to live,
right,
that they had adequate health care, and their schools had adequate resources.
And what dignity, right? Humanity.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Back then, that was what the call was for. And unfortunately, Earl, we're still asking for the same thing. And so I'm a little concerned that 60 years later, while we have there appears to be gains, there seems to be some continuations of the same old injustice and inequities.
You know, George, it's not just in Milwaukee. It's across the nation, right? It's not just in urban areas. It's in rural areas. And it's almost like we people are angry and think that, it's handouts and people just want something for free. And they fail to understand that we've got nations like China who were able to turn their people around, people who weren't educated. Get them educated. Make sure that those people can wind up doing jobs that help the economy. And China now is a powerful, powerful entity because the government decided to invest in its people, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the common sense kind of way, it only makes sense to invest in your people.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we have a labor shortage.
Right.
It's not a labor shortage. Some of it's labor shortage for unskilled workers. But a significant part of it is a labor shortage of skilled workers.
Right.
And why? It's because we didn't invest in our population to get them ready for the big boom that was going to take place called a lot of people who were baby boomers retired.
Yeah.
And it accelerated during the time of the pandemic. And so now we're caught with less labor than needed. Because we did not invest in our community for various reasons. And a lot of times it's there is a class group here. People in the lower classes don't get the same level of resources that allow them to be able to get the type of education that they need, the type of health, direction that they need to make sure they go into the right schools, the technical schools, the four-year schools, to make sure that they're ready for the opportunities when needed.
So you see this on a daily basis. I'm trying to get the listening audience to envision what it's like to walk into SDC Monday through Friday and see a bunch of people and families who aren't looking for a handout. They're looking for a hand up. And so we get all of these people who believe that people just don't want to work. They don't want – nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, I saw a data point that was given out by the state that showed working age adults by race. And actually the largest working group was African Americans. They work. They just don't make enough money to make ends meet. And, you know, it's not just African Americans, as you said. It's across the country where we see poverty. But we too often try to hide the truth behind myths of untruths.
Right.
Like people aren't working. People are working. They just don't make enough money to live in the country that's built to have more money to survive.
So I hear people say, well, they want $15 an hour. Well, $15 an hour is a poverty wage. People are clamoring. They're working. They can't get to 15. I was driving the other day. I went past a fast food restaurant, $12 an hour for third shift, right?
Yeah.
Then a third shift, $12 an hour in a fast food restaurant. Now, I don't have to tell you that you're putting your life on the line. Number one, today, working third shift. But there are actually people in there working. And then you look at families, parents of children aren't at home because they're trying to do what we've asked them to do. And then what gets me more than anything else, George, is the fact that when you see all of this and then a gas bill comes in, that because of where people live, because they don't have homes that are insulated and they rent and they get a gas bill for 1 month, $800, $900.
Yep.
Right? I mean, all of these things impact the average lives of people that others don't see.
Yeah, the whole structure of being in poverty is it has a tendency to put inequitable burdens on people who live in poverty. If you live in a home that's not well insulated, doesn't have the type of insulation that makes the energy efficient,
right,
you're going to pay higher bills. If you live in a community where you don't have jobs locally, then you have to spend more money to go to find a job.
Right.
And then you have to pay for daycare and those types of things, which is not cheap. And then that's a burden as well. And so when you talk about $12, $15 an hour, and you put that into a 40-hour work week, and then you put the math out there, it doesn't work. And so you see it upside down. You talk about houses being upside down. We have a whole lot of families whose income doesn't match up with the basic needs that they need just to survive. And that's why you see this big push about increasing the wage. But I think the best way to do it is make sure that people are educated so they can get to the wages that they need.
Right.
And then move into communities where the housing stock is better, where they can afford to send their kids to schools so they can afford to pay for the taxes necessary to make sure our school systems have the money that they need. All that stuff is structurally designed in a way that just keeps people in poverty. And so that's one of the things SDC is going to be looking at. What are the structural, systemic things that just continue to produce the outcome called excess poverty, specifically for certain groups of people?
So hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guest is a good friend. And really, to be honest, a savior of the Social Development Commission, because I know where it was before you got there. None other than George Hinton. He's the CEO of the Social Development Commission. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join in. We'll be right back.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Wanted to echo your sentiments about the effort.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like, yeah. I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm watch begins at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 29. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 20.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
You know, George, we still play the best music in the world.
Oh, man.
On radio.
I love your music.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to CJ. CJ, thank you very much for the call. Georgia, you got to be ready for this one. Go ahead, CJ.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen. I really do appreciate your efforts for what you gentlemen do. And Earl, thank you for taking my call. A conservative is a fellow who is standing athwart history yelling, stop, stop. And I say that, you know who said that, Earl? That was William F. Buckley, Jr.
Stop what?
And a brilliant man.
Stop what?
We're watching the uneducated of our kids. I heard this gentleman speak of 60 years this organization has been in existence. And I appreciate your efforts, sir. God bless you. Honestly, God bless you, because it started about 60 years ago with the destruction of the family in the black community. It used to be 20% would both be born or live in a fatherless home. Now it's between 70 and 80%.
Your numbers are wrong.
Sir, please, please, even before Bill Cosby went down with his disgusting actions, he spoke of the fatherless that grew up uneducated, as you speak of, and the difference between knowing that education can be the way out of everything.
Equal education, CJ.
I am being serious.
Equal education.
Tell your kids, pardon me?
Equal education. Equal opportunity at education. Not just education.
Sir, okay, equal. 80% of the inner city kids cannot read at their grade level.
That's a fact. What about the rest of America, CJ? What are the numbers for them?
Why is that equal? I taught my kids how to read. I didn't expect my school teachers to teach my kid how to read. So, sir,
is that only for Central City children, CJ?
Excuses for your party. You've been in control of Milwaukee for 40 plus years, Democrats. It's the family structure that is hurting America. It's hurting children. I don't care what color they are. And that's the fact.
Okay, let's let him respond, CJ.
I do love.
Hey, hold your thunder, CJ. You want to respond?
Well, I just want to say this. I think part of the problem that we have is that people have such strong opinions that they don't open themselves up to the fact that it's more complicated than what we all might say. I don't disagree with you that there was actions in the 60s and since then, not only by conservatives, by liberals, but also by conservatives that created a dysfunctional family structure in many ways for too many people in the African American community specifically, but I think across the country in all communities. But there's also a lot of structural reasons why that happens as well. Men have to have a job in order to be contributors to their family. And we have laws that put so many of them in incarceration that it takes them offline before they even get a chance to be old enough to take care of their families. So you have to look at everything. You can't just point to one thing and one party and say, oh, my God, they're the reasons why. I've been around a long time, and from my perspective, both sides have to do some work.
That's correct. CJ?
I would agree with that. But a 3-year-old is not incarcerated. A 5-year-old is not incarcerated. These kids don't know how to read. They don't know, they don't respect authority. And I'm not,
CJ,
it breaks my heart.
CJ.
It breaks my heart, sir.
CJ, let me
say, you can't say 3- and 5-year-olds are not respectful. I mean, I think you can say something happened from the time they're 3- and 5-year-old until they get an age. And I wouldn't even say all. So don't even go there, because it's not even the majority that drop out of school. There's a lot of young people who are doing the best they can in education systems that are not comparable to the ones in other communities.
You know, George, we can go back to the 1960s when, I forgot what it was called, the Kerner Commission,
mm-hmm.
talked about separate but equal.
Mm-hmm.
They came back in the 1990s,
mm-hmm.
did the same thing, Kerner Commission. Separate but unequal. And I think recently there's been another one. Separate but unequal.
Yeah.
What is that, CJ? Do you understand what that says? And why the Kerner Commission was able to look at that 3 separate times and say that things hadn't changed enough in this country where there was equal and fair opportunity for everybody? Are you aware of that?
Let me just add this on for a minute. The other thing is, I've been in some of these schools in the summertime, right? Or at least in the early spring,
right?
Even before, they don't have air conditioning in these schools. I mean, there's basic things that are not involved. We don't even show our children that there's.
George, you got to hold the thought. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. George Hinton, the CEO of Social Development Commission and a good friend, is in the studio. We'll be right back. So,
to the sky, keep your head to the sky.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. President Biden in Warsaw delivering a speech in support of Ukraine as the world prepares to mark a full year since the Russian invasion. And a day after that surprise trip to Kyiv, ABC's Mary Bruce is in Warsaw with more.
The U.S. informing Russia of the visit just hours in advance, an attempt to avoid any miscalculation or direct conflict. Vladimir Putin abided by that warning, but is firing back, saying it is impossible to defeat Russia on the battlefield and that the West is trying to turn a local conflict into a phase of global confrontation.
In his equivalent to the State of the Union address, Vladimir Putin announced today that Russia would be pulling the Kremlin out of the START Treaty, the last remaining nuclear arms pact with the United States. Another 8 people killed when another powerful earthquake rocked the same area in Turkey and Syria where 47,000 people died in this month's tremor. The quake coming at a magnitude 6.4. This is ABC News.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's bracing for another big snowstorm. People everywhere will be affected, but the worst of it should be in about the central one-third of Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says it'll start to get snowy and windy later tonight and last all the way into Thursday. Places from Neillsville to Sturgeon Bay might get up to a foot and a half of snow. Wisconsin wildlife officials are asking the public to let them know where and when they spot black bears and black bear dens. The Bear Litter and Diet Survey is the Department of Natural Resources' effort to learn about black bear reproduction rates and manage the population. In sports, ESPN reports the Philadelphia Eagles interviewed Jim Leonard about their defensive coordinator job. Leonard was the Badgers' defensive coordinator and former interim head coach. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Get your Brewers sponsorships, hip!
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS AM 1100 and 97.3 FM is your home for Brewer baseball in Oshkosh and the surrounding area. Tie your business into one of the most popular sports franchises in the state. Become a sponsor of Brewer baseball. Call our sales office at 608-819-8255. That's 608-819-8255. Tell them you want to be on the team.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is George Hinton. He is the CEO of the Social Development Commission. And before we go back to the phone lines, George, from your perspective, a well-educated perspective on what is happening with people, and not the wealthy amongst us, but those who are Americans just the same, mm-hmm. and who struggle on a daily basis. I interviewed some people about several months back, and it was a woman who worked 30 years in the fast food industry. Mm-hmm. The most she ever made, she was a manager, $16. Mm-hmm. An hour. Mm-hmm. and she referred to it as my store. Listen to that. That kind of commitment. Her store. $16 an hour. Worked 30 years. No, she couldn't make, didn't make enough money to save anything. When she retires, there's no pension. When she retires, there's no 401k. When she retires, she didn't make enough in Social Security that she's going to be able to do anything other than die indigent, right? She's not alone.
No, she's not. I mean, there's the structure in which we have built this country does not necessarily look favorable on folks who are poor, especially as they get older.
Right.
If they weren't able to put enough money into Social Security, that's also going to be limited. If they weren't able to even have Social Security because of the type of jobs they have, they won't have anything. And then if they don't save money through their
501Ks
and all that stuff, then they, you know, and what we're seeing is more and more seniors, regardless of the fact that they worked their entire life, they're coming into the ranks of the poor.
Right.
And this is not just black folks
right.
or brown folks. This is white folks.
Yeah, because
they've worked in these factories for years, in these small manufacturers, but they still didn't have enough money to take care of themselves the way the structure is in the United States to actually be able to live and take care of yourself and have enough resources to do so.
And George, that structure, because, again, our nation has not planned long term, all these baby boomers are going to wind up. I'll often spend a lot of time talking about the places where the elderly, nursing homes, people are going to wind up there, right? And because they haven't saved anything, they don't have anything. And yet they'll wind up in those places, and the sheer numbers are going to, they're going to be more than what, because you were in healthcare for many years. They're going to overwhelm the entire system.
And if we don't talk about equality now, what we're going to do is see there will be a group of seniors that will be well taken care of. And there'll be a group of seniors that'll be in subpar institutions that won't be taken care of.
Warehouse like animals.
Because they won't have the resources to do so. And I think we as a country have to begin to understand it's okay to be a powerful, profitable country. But it's also okay to make sure we have a base of programming and resources to make sure that everyone in our country has a minimum amount of resources and coverage to make sure that they can have a good, healthy life working as well as be able to retire and feel like they're be able to be taken care of by the people in this country who are benefiting from all the work that they did. We can do both. And we know we can do both because we see it being done in other parts of the world.
Yes.
We just have to stop being so one-sided in our thinking about how we protect the concept of capitalism.
Well, see, and at the root of it is what you just said, people. And Dr. King once said what they advocate for in this country is capitalism for the poor and socialism for the rich. That's in truth. That's exactly what it is. Because the wealthy, come on, they're protected. They're taken care of. And yes, they made money. Well, you know, they're the ones who make the money. They're the ones who pay the taxes. Yeah, well, we're talking about percentages of taxes being paid. They pay the most taxes because they're making the most money.
But they don't pay the same percentage.
No, and that's what's at the root of it, right?
Well, and that there's a big argument about that right now, about if we had the percentages be more equitable, we would probably see less poverty in the country and have more resources to do the things we want to do.
You know, the Social Development Commission at its root is that, fighting for a equitable outcome for families that got the eight ball against them, right?
Yeah. I look at it as a progressive organization that believes in economic development.
Okay.
We just challenged the system the way it is so they can make sure that the development is everywhere and the opportunities are everywhere. Right. So a lot of people want to say, well, you're just making sure people stay up. No, we want to make sure people don't live in poverty.
Right.
We want to ask everyone to say, let me step back and look at what's going on and ask the question, is this the way it really needs to be to make sure that everybody has an opportunity? And then be able to say, okay, let's talk. Because too often we just say, it's my way, it's my way, it's my way. But, you know, I look on both sides of the world and I say, look, there's some things that people in poverty need to do differently.
Right.
And there's a lot of things that people who are doing well need to do differently as well.
Right.
And if we talk about what we have common things in line that we can begin to work on, I think that we can actually make a difference in this country and be the shining star it wants to be in the world and says it is. But everybody in the world sees the United States as the country of some that have,
right,
and too many that don't have. And that's not a place to be. We're also the country that has the highest level of incarceration. Those aren't things to be proud of. Those don't mean that we're doing a great job. That means something's wrong.
You know, George, if people chose to be in poverty, there's not a line that's set up, two lines that's set up in life, and you have a choice, either living well or living in poverty. And people choose, well, I'm gonna go get in the poverty line, right? That's not how it works. If people had a choice, no one would say, I want to live in poverty. It's not a recipe for living a good life, right?
And for your children.
Yeah.
And as a parent, you don't want your children to struggle.
No.
And I think that there's the desire for people to do better, and people who live in poverty want to do better. And we have to make sure our systems aren't barriers to that process. And too often, even if we think our systems are doing well, they're probably not. I'll give an example. We have way too much lead in our homes across the state.
Right.
And what does that do? That impacts children's ability to learn.
And they know it.
And it's been going on for years.
Right.
And then we say, okay, these kids aren't learning well. Well, maybe because they've been poisoned, and we know it. And if you're poor, you're most likely living in a house. The higher probability of you being poor and living in a house that's been affected by lead is higher if you're poor. And so that means your children are more likely to be able to not be able to have the success that they could have had if they wasn't poisoned from lead. These are structural problems that are embedded in poverty segregated communities. And I'll call them poverty segregated communities because people want to say we don't have segregation. We have a lot of segregation. It's not just race, but it's class segregation. And class segregation is even happening in the rural areas. And that's why you don't see the type of resources that you need across the state. That's across all areas of the state. Healthcare, food security, schools that are well-resourced, yeah. Clinics that are abundant everywhere. That doesn't exist.
So, George, by now we know this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a secret anymore. Maybe 30 years ago, people might have said, well, we didn't know those things. But we've certainly known about it. Flint's a prime example. We knew 20 years ago what they did with the water in Flint and even in Milwaukee. We've known about it. They haven't fixed it yet. Right?
Not at the levels that you would
suspect. That needs to be. Right.
Yes.
You would have thought that, hey, we saw this. We know the outcome of it. We want to shut it off and fix it so no other generations of children get out.
Yeah. even at the levels that we're talking about doing it now, it doesn't fit the problem.
Right.
Because we're still poisoning children.
Yeah.
And those outcomes end up in prison.
Yes.
And I'm saying to the country and to people who are listening, that's one of those areas where there needs to be advocacy from everyone. This is not something that we don't want our children to be poisoned. And I'll get and we deal with this, we stop a lot of the other stuff.
Right. Tom from LA, hey Tom, what's going on? You say what?
To see certain callers and certain people that call in, I would love to see them dropped right in the middle or right in the urban areas, and not give them a car. Let them, kind of fend for themselves. Because I'm sure anybody that's in the I won't call it the urban areas, but in the, in the cities, I'm sure that they would love to switch places with anybody that's out there in the, the rural areas. It's amazing to me how they constantly can say, oh, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Oh, my kids are perfect. You know what? Number one, the caller that called in before, I don't like to mention his name, but I would love to know about the closets that are in that household, because I bet you there are plenty. And, it's like, it just amazes me the number of people that think they're so perfect and they don't have any problems. And then you start, peeling the onion a little bit. And you go, whoa, I guess you did have this issue. I guess you did need government's help on this or whatever. But the thing is, the inner cities, I would love to see them just dropped in the inner city. Have them trade places with somebody that's in the rural area and see how they do. Just see how they do. Because I'll tell you what, those people in the inner cities would love to have the opportunities that the people in the rural areas have. I grew up in the rural areas. I understand this. And the thing is, yes, you have neighbors helping neighbors. You have all these different things happening. But you know what? You are given a foot up versus people in the inner city of this country. So please, anybody that's out there, think about it. Think about it. Do you really think people would want to be in the state of, life that they're in or whatever it might be? Trade places with them. See how you do.
Hey, Tom, so man, thank you.
You don't do as well as they do.
Thank you very much for the call. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll get to the others of you on the phone lines. George Hinton, the CEO of the Social Development Commission, and a good friend is in the studio. Man, it's good to have you back in the studio, man.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. I can feel a broken man.
In Wisconsin, we want elected officials who serve our communities. We want laws that protect our basic human rights. On February 21st, there's a primary election. Let's come together to vote for judges who uphold our rights and local officials who champion laws that protect our families. Let's empower our families and friends to vote. Visit vote411.org to learn about the candidates and find unbiased election information for the primary election on February 21st. Visit vote411.org.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder,
and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm watch begins at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 29. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 20.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
So you like my music selection?
I do like your music selection.
Maybe it's because we were both young back then.
Right. That's exactly the reason. I'll be going like, okay.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is George Hinton. He is the CEO of the Social Development Commission. Let's go to the phone lines. And Robert from West Dallas. Hey, good morning, Robert. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I just want to make 2 points. One is really, you know, how morally bankrupt are these Republicans in the state, whether it be Robin Voss or one of these other ones? You look at Madison, they're sitting on probably a $6.5 billion surplus.
Over seven. Over seven.
Know, they, okay, seven now. You know, Milwaukee pays a dollar into the state, and they get back 67 cents through their austerity year after year after year. There's cuts. And these guys are more concerned about giving a tax cut to their donors than they are, you know, children being exposed to lead and having, you know, mental impacts from it. It's just astounding how morally bankrupt these people are. I don't even know how they call themselves Americans. They really don't care about other people. It's all about money with them. I guess the second point I wanted to make is this does not have to be. Today we have the best opportunity we're going to have in a decade to vote on a Supreme Court justice. We need to get out and vote for Judge Janet. I like Judge Mitchell, but he doesn't have the resources, I believe, to really win. And we can only pick one. If you vote for two people, they'll cancel out your ballot. So we need everyone to come out today and vote in presidential type levels. If we get that, we can get rid of gerrymandering. We can impact some of this stuff. We can kind of scare these politicians to actually start working for the people again in the state. You know, whether it's the environment, whether it's a woman's right to control their own body, recreational marijuana, anything that you're interested in as an average citizen, if you get out and vote today, and make sure Judge Janet is one of the finalists for the election, we're going to be doing ourselves a great service. Otherwise, another decade might go by before we have this opportunity again.
Hey, Robert, well said, man. I concur. Thank you very much for the call. You know, George, at the root of all of this is politics. Oh, I mean politics. At the root of all of it is that. Because we have enough resources in this country, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, we're talking about Calcutta. This is America. We have the resources to fix this. And to me, that's what's so frustrating about it. You know, it's going to be a war to fix it because we have people who don't care about other human beings. They care more about things. You know, how many villas can you have, man? Right? I mean, you know, well, Elon Musk is going to be the first trillionaire. Yay, yay. What? So we celebrate one person maybe getting $1 trillion. And we don't a so-called, you know, Judeo-Christian nation. we celebrate Elon Musk. He's great. I want to be like him. Oh, okay. And so things are set to make sure that Elon Musk will become a trillionaire at the expense of hundreds of millions of people, man. What is that, man? I don't understand that. And that's what you mean by a system that's set up wrong, man. How do you overcome that system?
You know, I think we have to, as a people, begin to understand that our responsibility as a living being. We're on earth, we procreate, we bring children into this world. I mean, all of us.
Right.
I mean, some of us have trouble with that, but that's
right.
God built us that way.
Right.
And we just have to begin to understand. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the happiness of success. But when it gets to the point you're so successful, you don't care about the other people's success. And that we allow our children and other families to be hungry or be cold at night, and I mean across the world.
Right.
I mean, you talk about moral compass. Something's not right.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I call on our religious institutions, whatever they
absolutely
are, to stop perpetuating the false narrative about what we are supposed to do as human beings, and really talk about how do we work together to make sure that everyone on this earth has food, has a shelter and a place to live, and that we live life in harmony with the world and with the earth. Because I think that's the only way we're going to survive and continue to thrive in this world and together as a people.
You know, George, when you live in communities like you and I, and a 13-year-old boy was murdered the other day, and we get to a point where you just believe that there's no way, there's nothing. But when children get to a point in their lives at 13, at 12, that there is no opportunity for me. And I always try to get people in the listening audience to try to envision that. That's what's going on.
That is an actual – I've witnessed that myself and talked to young people who can't see tomorrow.
Right.
And I've never experienced that. And we lived in the hood.
Right.
And I never seen kids or young people at that age be so disenchanted with the next day. And so we've got some work to do.
And then somebody gives them access to a gun.
Guns that we don't manufacture, we don't sell. They are legal guns at the point of somebody's purchase, and then they get into the hands of very young children right now. Something's wrong.
Yeah. And you know, George, it's good to finally get you here. I don't think it'll take as long to get you back, will it?
No, I won't.
Okay.
I'll come from time
to
time.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about, man. It's so good to have you back in the studio. George Hinton, CEO of the Social Development Commission, and I want you guys to get to know him and who he is, because he and his staff are making some amazing changes to people's lives. That's what it's going to take to fix it all. Thank you for coming, my friend, until we meet again.
And thank you for having me, and Hi, Wisconsin. Good morning.
All right. That's George Hinton. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.